So good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming out. Especially thanks for the people who came out knowing that the pastor wouldn't be with us. So I'll do the best I can to fill in for him. So if you'll indulge me, I'd like to open us with a quick word of prayer. Lord, I ask today that as I deliver a message that you just use me and have your words go through me so that it's your words and not my own. I ask that you open the ears and the hearts of those who would hear it, that they would just take something with them and use it to grow closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning I want to talk to you about trusting God. Maybe trust in general, but specifically trusting God. If I was to ask one of those leading questions, who should we place our trust in? Based upon your attendance here, everybody knows what the right answer is, right? It's a little easier said than done for a lot of people, because it's easy to say that you trust in God, but how easy is it to actually go ahead and do it? Now, trust is a natural state of the human condition. We all seek consistency and complacency to a certain extent, to be safe and to just know what to expect day to day. And part of that is trusting our surroundings, trusting those around us. We can even look at those who've lost the ability to do that. There's certain ailments, some of people with obsessive compulsive disorder, they just can't trust that things are safe. They got to check the door 1,000 times. Myself as a veteran, I'm well aware of what post-traumatic stress disorder can do to folks in terms of being able to trust their own safety and trust those around them. So these are medical conditions. Everybody understands that we need to place our trust in something, and when you can't, it's a real problem. Now, even in our professional lives, trust is something that corporate trainers and team builders, summer camps, baseball teams, they all have exercises to make us trust in the institution and trust in those that we're working with and working through. So I don't know how many people have seen it, but there's a really common exercise that they do to build trust. And I'll explain it. I'm not going to demonstrate because I don't want to kill anyone. But what you do is you have some person who we'll call the trustee, the person who's supposed to be trusted, and then the truster will stand up here, blindly close her eyes and fall backward and trust that person's going to catch them. In this case, that might not work out so well. I'm looking at the audience trying to decide who I'd want on the backside of that, but it's an interesting concept, but it's something that is used pretty frequently in organizations because they know how important trust is. And a lot of times the training office, wherever you happen to work, will conduct that exercise and they'll sign off who went there, publish in some newsletter or compliance journal. Our organization now has trust. Signed off, all set. We're good to go. But even beyond this, the world likes to try to get us to trust into its own systems. Trust your coworkers, like I explained. Trust in your job, that it's always going to be there and provide for you the way you need it to. Trust in your government. I don't know how successful a job they're doing at convincing us to do that lately. But another thing the world likes to try to get us to do is trust in ourselves. Now, I did a quick Google search, because if you want to know what the world's thinking, that's probably the best place to turn to. If you were to Google search trust in yourself, or at least in my case when I did it, I got 26 million results for trust in yourself. Almost every one of these was some worldly doctrine about self-actualization and believing in yourself, which is not inherently a bad thing, but if that's where your ground is, you're going to slip and fall. And the real problem with trusting in yourself is evident if you then Google search, I made a mistake, which yields 154 million results. So we can see how well-founded trust in oneself really is. And we'd like to believe that we can even trust in our families that God's provided us, and we can to a certain extent. But we're all imperfect beings, right? So you can ask my wife sitting up here that there may have been occasions where I would lay out some grand plan of what I was going to do or accomplish or what have you. Might even follow up the very end of it to say, trust me. Sometimes I'll change it up, put it in the beginning, trust me, I'll do this, or whatever the case may be. You can ask her about it, and it doesn't always happen. Now, it might be oversight on my part. Miscalculation, I didn't have the right information. I wasn't able to be as trustworthy as I had intended. You know, maybe it's a bad day, and it was something malicious on my part. You know, we're not all even above that. You see, as imperfect beings, we're not really worthy candidates for perfect trust. If we turn to the Bible, Psalm 118 in verse 8, said, it's better to trust the Lord than to put your confidence in man. Hence the trouble that my wife might have trusting me. The Bible tells her not to do it necessarily, right? Verse 9 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in princes. That's our government. We can't place our trust in these institutions. We can't place our trust in ourselves. Galatians 6:3 says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, we're not incapable. And we can't walk around not trusting in any of these things. But it's uneven ground. Now, the best way to walk on uneven ground is to have somebody who's standing on firm ground hold your hand. As we make our way through this world, there's so many things that we can't count on. You've got to firmly plant your foundation where you can trust it, the solid rock, right? I mean, I myself have, you know, those who know me, had what I thought was a great job working for an institution that's existed for well over 100 years. Seems like it'd be there forever. Suddenly it starts getting shaky. But that's not where I'm going to place my trust. It's going to be in God. Because he doesn't change. It may be financially advantageous for one thing to change in the world. You lose your home, lose your job, lose your setting. But God doesn't change. He's always the same today, tomorrow, forever, right? So that is where we should place our trust. But how do we do that? It's easy to say, not easy to do. Well, if we consider the exercise of the trust fall for just a moment, there are some things to be learned from that very human exercise. If you're in a group of people and they're going through that exercise, one of the best ways you can learn to trust the person who's catching is to kind of monitor the situation. Watch somebody else go first. That's what I like to do. Make sure that it worked out for them. Well, as Christians, we can do the same thing. And I defy just about anybody here to say, I've watched someone trust God and it was a bad move. I don't know how many have seen it. Maybe by the world's standards, but by God's standards, right? Is it a bad move to trust God? So we can definitely use that exercise. By the same token, just as I kind of surveyed the congregation here today, you can look at the person catching you and decide, are they big enough to catch me? I might be in a little bit of trouble in this particular group in that setting. But if we take a look at God, is he big enough to catch you? There at the beginning of time, there till the end, always, creator of everything, everywhere, ever. He's big enough to catch you. We can watch as he's caught others, how he takes care of others. If you would indulge me, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I learned from last time, I printed it out so that I don't have to fumble through the pages, so I'll give you just a minute to get there. But it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, not for your body, what ye shall put on. Is there not more to than meat, the body and the body of raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which is to the day and to the morrow cast to the oven, shall not he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith, take therefore no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father know ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So the reason I share this is it's a simple thing. We look at God's creation all around us. We see the birds in the sky. They don't have 401ks or bank accounts. They don't have grocery stores to go to. Yet they're taken care of. And if you bring your belief back just to the point where you say, God who loves me, whose son he sent to die on the cross for me, loves me as much as grass, as much as birds. He takes care of them. Doesn't it stand to reason that it'll take care of you? Like I say, that's almost the same as sizing up the people going before you in the falling exercise. Well, they're all being caught and taken care of. God's got everything in order. He can do the same for you. So I find that helpful scripture in terms of being able to put your trust in God. Because it's an exercise. It's not easy. We get caught up in the trappings of this world, the things that we feel like we need. God knows what we need. His word says so. And if he knows what we need, he's going to take care of us. We can see the examples of it all around us. Now, another important step in learning to trust God is trusting God isn't the same as commanding God. You have to let go of what you think you need, what your plan is. Because when you focus on those, you're really looking at your plan, your desires, and then again, you're putting your trust in yourself. It may be that God has not provided you with the financial resources to make this month's mortgage payment because he doesn't intend for you to live in that house. Maybe God hasn't sustained you in a job because he's got something else planned for you. See, if we focus on God's plan and abandon our own for just a minute, we can learn to trust him. He doesn't promise to explain everything that he's doing with us. We're not as big as God. We couldn't possibly comprehend. You know, we often pray for God to remove these hardships in our life because it's what we believe we need to do. There's so many higher purposes that we can't possibly understand. Jesus Christ himself in the Bible shows us how we should approach when our plan isn't happening. When Jesus was in the garden, he fell to his knees and prayed to the Lord, Lord, if it's possible, and forgive me if I paraphrase and don't get it quite right, Lord, if it's possible, let this pass from me. But not my will, not my desires, not my plan, yours be done. Can you imagine what the future and what eternity would look for us if God, to Christ in his human state, said, okay. God's plans are bigger than us. He knows what he's doing. Follow Christ's example. When you are facing some hardship, fall on your knees and tell the Lord, if you can save me from this, Lord, save me from it, but if you need me here, I trust that you know what you're doing. It may be that you have some ailment and that you're ill and you're going to be in the hospital with dialysis or chemotherapy or whatever the case may be. Because God needs you there to reach somebody else who's there. And that's how he's going to put you there. I've witnessed my own father sharing the gospel with other people as he receives chemotherapy. People who are in their most receptive state. You want to talk to somebody who's willing to consider what you might have to say about eternity, is talk to somebody who's near the end of the road and knows it. So rather than being sorrowful, be joyful about where you're at and trust that God has put you there for a reason. He doesn't say that he's going to tell you why. You might never know why you've endured something. You might have just been an inspiration to someone who saw you struggle through a situation and lean on your faith. And they watched you and contemplated. Wondered, what was it that you had that they don't that allowed you to endure? God knows what he's doing. Trust him. You see, God has made us exactly the way that he needs us to be. He is the potter and we're but clay in his hands. He's going to give you the gifts that you need. If he doesn't give you a certain set of gifts, certain set of resources, it's because you don't need them. I really wish it was in God's plan that he needed me to be a millionaire. It has not happened yet. You see, so I could sit and pray, Lord, give me $1 million every day. And then I could be upset when I don't get it. It's like that prosperity doctrine. For anyone who hasn't seen it, the article about Lord, give me an airplane that Pastor George posted out front. If the Lord needs that pastor to have an airplane, he's going to give it to him. But you can't question God when he doesn't supply you with what you think you need. He knows what you need. The other way that we need to focus on God and learn to trust him is, you know, going back to this exercise, I don't think that I'd be willing to fall those 2 feet into the arms of a complete stranger. Somebody I don't know has no vested interest in catching me. We don't tend to trust strangers. We teach our children not to trust strangers. Don't go talk to the stranger out on the side of the street, right? You don't know that person. Stay away. We inherently know that this is wise. So if we want to learn to trust God, get to know him. How well do you know God? If you're not trusting God, do you spend enough time with him? Do you talk with God? Do you pray? That's how you get to know God. He's open and listening every day to each one of us. Anytime that you want to pray, he's listening. And he does answer, and we don't always understand his answers. A lot of times we claim he doesn't answer when we don't get the response that we want. But he does answer. He's faithful. He says that he will. The other way to get to know God better and therefore learn to trust him more is to spend time in his word. You want to understand the character of God, who he is, what he'll do. It's all here. When I question, is God big enough to catch me? Boy, it takes about 2 pages in to read in the beginning to understand how big God is. He can catch me. I know it because it says so. Is it in God's nature to catch me? Well, look at John 3:16. Look at what he's given up for you. He's going to catch you. You don't pay such a heavy price and then just abandon it. So you see, understanding God and getting to know him is core to trusting God. If you can't trust God, I submit to you that you likely just haven't learned enough about him yet to understand why you in fact can. And my last point, and I think this is the biggest one, is the best way to learn to trust God is to surrender to God. You see, we focus so much on our own plans That most of the times when we feel like, boy, I really need to reach out, I really need to trust God through this situation, we're making a mistake, because God doesn't ask you to hand over a situation to him. I have a problem with my job, I'm going to give that to God. Well, God doesn't ask me to give him that problem. He asks us to give him ourselves, everything. So if you're just giving God just your problems, you're not giving enough. He paid for everything, not just part. So if you're not surrendering to God and saying that I understand that your plan for me may not be what I think it is, that may be why you don't trust him. If we let's turn together to Romans chapter 12. Here we see Paul, he writes, I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, Paul isn't talking about handing over just one problem, a living sacrifice, all of yourself. All of yourself. You see, God wants to be able to use you in whatever way that he can for his glory. That's the world wants to know the meaning of life. That's it right there. We exist for God's glory. And if you're not allowing yourself to be used to that end, you may run into problems. You see, a lot of times, the trust gap that we have, where we want to say that you can't trust in this, you can't trust in that. Well, what's your expected outcome, right? If God's seeking to use you for his glory, you may go through some hardships. I submit to you that there are a few who glorified God a whole lot more than Job. Job probably had moments where his trust was shaken. He was scared. He definitely went through a great deal, all to God's glory, as part of God's plan. There's nothing more miraculous than that, that the God who created everything has a plan for each one of us. Now, I can't promise you that he's going to share it with you. You're going to know exactly what he's got in store. You can't. You know, I'm not even sure, as I went through the series of hardships I've ever faced in my own life, what led me to ever walk through the doors of this church. I'm not sure. I don't know. But I am certain that God used every moment in my life to steer the ship through those doors and to trust him more. Now, I was saved when I was probably 16 years old. I never wrote down the moment, so I don't know that birthday. I think it was Pastor Smith last week who discussed it. I'm not sure, I didn't write down the date, but it was a lot of years. But what I didn't do is I never took the next step. I didn't then surrender myself to God and say, God, help me to abandon my plans and look after yours. Show me how I can best live up to what you have in store for me, and show me how to give you the glory for it. At one point in my life, I was certain that I'd be a career military man. I spent a number of years in, served overseas, saw a lot of places, and my career was on the fast track for a while. Those of you who've been in, I'll share it with you. I made sergeant in less than 2 years from the time that I was enlisted. I was on the track. I'd be a sergeant major before I hit 20 years. And I was so certain that was the plan that when I misstepped in my career, I guess we'll say abruptly ended, or ended sooner than I thought it ought to, I was certain that God had let me down. Yet, I think about where I'm at now and the ability to be able to come up here and to share what I know of God with each of you. There's no amount of shiny stripes on my sleeves that I would ever trade for it. Yet, I had my moments because my plan was I was going to be a 20-year military person. I'd be a sergeant major, or I had a plan in to go be a warrant officer and fly helicopters. I was going to do all these great things. That was my plan. I never fell on my knees and prayed for God to reveal his plan to me. And when it didn't work out, I questioned God. I'm wiser now, and I realize that God saved me from a great deal. From the time I left the military service, I've lost several people that I've known over the years. Most of them who didn't lose their lives, a lot of them lost their marriages because of the toils of just being gone constantly. And I praise God that he saved me from it. He saved me from it. I wasn't wise enough to save myself from it because I walked right into the reenlistment office once and raised my hand and said, I want to stay, even though God didn't have that in his plan. So he saved me from it. And I think a lot of times we look at hardship and we're convinced, well, that's the work of the devil. Are you sure? God could be saving you from yourself. It's not scripture, but I'll share it with you anyways. There's an old Garth Brooks song where he talks about the dance, right? He goes back years later to his hometown and runs into his old high school flame that he had prayed to God over and over again to put them together. In these years later, when he encounters again, he realizes he has nothing in common with her, and it would have been a humongous mistake. So, of course, that's a fictitious example, but it has real parallels in life. God knows what his plan is. He knows better. He knows better. So if you're facing a hardship right now or something is just not working out, have you prayed and said, instead of telling God what he needs to do in your life, right? So you can't command God. I could pray to God and say, Lord, I'm scared about my job. Please sustain me there. Keep me there. Keep this opportunity for me. But if that's not what God's plan is, it could be a humongous mistake. I could stifle my career. I could stop the opportunities for me to go out and reach more people. I don't know what God has in plan for me. I have no idea. No idea. But I know if God wants me there, that's where he'll keep me. If he wants me to leave, he's going to put me somewhere else. And therefore, when you learn to trust God, you look at the situation in that vein and say, this is not my life. I died and was born again, and it's Christ that lives in me, and I'm going to glorify him in whatever I'm doing. I know that he's all-powerful and that he's going to put me where he wants me and use me the way that he wants me. So whatever I'm going through is simply him holding my hand and leading me to that end. It can be hard. It can be hard when you lose loved ones, suffer physically. But pray for grace that God helps you endure it rather than for him to relieve you from it. Because if it's happening, God can use it. God can use it. And I know there's people sitting here who are suffering. I know that there are. But try to understand what God might be doing with it. Think about it and pray about it in that way. Pastor George has occasionally shared with us a bumper sticker that he's seen where it says, Jesus is my co-pilot. Your relationship with God is not a collaborative effort. If Jesus is your co-pilot, change seats. Change seats. You want to allow God to use you the best way that he knows how, and the way he knows how is better than you do. I'd like for us to consider, those of us who are familiar with it, the hymn of Have Thine Own Way, and actually asked Rich to add it to the end. We're going to close with that, but really listen to the words. It's a beautiful hymn. Whoever put pen to paper that understood what I'm talking about today. God knows what he's doing. Let him take control in your life and trust him that he knows what he's doing. So I don't have the hymn number with me, but we'll sing that, and then I'll close us in prayer afterwards.
Please stand and join me singing hymn 485, Have Thine Own Way. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray.
Let's pray. Lord, I just hope that each person here can take a look at their lives and their troubles and just try to see your will and to trust you, to know that you have a plan, that you know to be able to catch anyone who falls. And Lord, I'd ask that if there's anybody out here today who says, you know, I'm standing there and I'm getting ready to fall backward and I'm not sure if anyone's there to catch me, or they don't know that you can catch them, I'd ask that you just kind of move on their heart and that they would come and ask anyone. If they don't want to come and ask me, come and ask their friends, ask anyone here who knows you, and that you'd lead them to the right person, that they could show you that there is someone standing there who'll catch us. And that the reason that maybe the things aren't working out in their life is because they're trying to trust in their own plans, and lead them to your plan, Lord. Let them just to have peace in knowing that the architect of everything has also architected a plan for them to glorify him. As we depart here, Lord, we ask that everyone just be able to contemplate on these things and to dig deeper into the Word and just to understand you better, Lord. As we go downstairs to eat as brethren, we ask that you bless the food, you bless any of those who prepared it, and that we might fellowship and learn more about you and continue to grow in you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen.